It's the Congressional Corner. I'm Ian Pickus, keeping the seat warm for Dr. Alan Chartok, and my guest is Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. Okay, Tim, we'll treat this segment as a lightning round. We talked in the past about Senator Elizabeth Warren's chances to run for president. Her counterpart in the Senate, Ed Markey, is already facing a primary challenge in next year's election.
He certainly is. So Ed Markey ran in a special election to fill part of the term, the unexpired term of John Kerry in 2013, when Kerry became Secretary of State. And then Markey won a full six-year term in 2014. It's been widely expected that he'd run for re-election in 2020. He's already drawn a primary challenger, an attorney by the name of Shannon Lease Reardon, a labor lawyer who has taken on major corporations, Google, Amazon, FedEx, Uber, Starbucks, in terms of wage practices and other labor practices. And she articulates a message very similar to that of Elizabeth Warren, that the system is rigged in favor of corporations in America. And she seems to be running inspired by the experiences of other women who've taken on entrenched male, white male incumbents. For example, Ayanna Pressley taking on Joe Capuano in the 8th House District in Massachusetts and defeating him in the primary in 2018. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez winning election in the Bronx as well in 2018. So that's what Mark he's up against right now. He's got all of the benefits of incumbency, the prowess of fundraising. Although he's only been in the Senate since 2013, he's been in Congress for decades and knows his way around the state. His challenger will have her work cut out for her in terms of the Democratic primary.
We don't have this in New York, but in Massachusetts, you have mostly, I think, all Democratic members of Congress, but a Republican governor. So how are the voters liking Charlie Baker these days?
It's true. In our 9 seats in the House of Representatives and our 2 Senate seats, it's all Democrats and has been for some time. Charlie Baker, the Republican governor, remains very popular in Massachusetts. The most recent numbers that I saw was a Suffolk University Boston Globe poll from earlier this month that had Charlie Baker's favorability rating at about 69%. He remains one of the most popular governors in the country, but there are some concerns for him. We've had some difficulty recently in the Boston metro area in terms of mass transit, an area that Baker has been working on since he first won election in 2014, took office in 2015. He has vowed to improve the MBTA system, Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority. That includes the T, the subway system in Boston, as well as the much larger commuter rail system and bus system in Boston and eastern Massachusetts. Recently, the Red Line, the busiest line in the T, it carries about 248,000 trips per day, derailed at the JFK/UMass Boston stop just south of downtown. And it created havoc. This was during the morning rush hour. Shuttle buses were deployed to try to get people to work. Ride-sharing services hiked their fares, according to media accounts. It created massive gridlock and was a reminder of just how fragile the transportation infrastructure is in eastern Massachusetts. This is something that Baker has promised to fix. He has done some reforms of the MBTA, but he has resisted large-scale additional public investment through perhaps raising the gas tax or imposing some congestion pricing on cars traveling into Boston during peak times of the day. And it's only a matter of time before that public opinion begins to affect his approval rating. He easily won re-election in 2018. Media accounts say he's already thinking about a third consecutive term, which would be unprecedented for a Massachusetts governor. But he's got to keep an eye on the transportation system. This is one of those things that voters experience day in, day out. The Boston Globe did a piece and found that the MBTA has one of the worst records in terms of derailments of any major transportation rail system in the country. Frankly, the polling that has been out there has shown commuters are really fed up. They're tired of these challenges. They're tired of these difficulties. And it's only a matter of time before it begins to translate into tougher poll numbers for the governor.
Let's go to another place now. You recently did a poll on attitudes toward lowering the voting age. What did you find?
Yes, this was fascinating. So we did a telephone survey at the Polling Institute, inspired in part by Massachusetts lawmakers' interest in lowering the voting age from 18 to 16. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley had introduced an amendment in the House to do that for elections for president and Congress. That amendment was defeated when a package of electoral reforms were voted on in March. However, at the state level, there is a bill pending that would allow cities and towns in Massachusetts to lower the voting age to 16 for municipal elections, school committee elections. And that bill is currently before a joint House-Senate committee, and there may be some legislative support for that. There are communities in Massachusetts that are interested in lowering the voting age to 16. Here in Western Massachusetts, Northampton has added that to proposed amendments to its city charter. Holyoke also is interested in it. And so we thought, well, let's go take a look. What do people think? And what we found was that there's not a whole lot of support for lowering the voting age to 16 in elections for president and Congress. 65% of adults surveyed in our poll were opposed to it. Only 29% were in favor. We followed up by saying, well, what are the reasons why you support or oppose this? And it's interesting. On both sides, people said maturity, knowledge. Supporters said, we think young people are ready. Folks have talked about the fact that young people are leading the charge on concerns about climate change, on gun control. These movements have emanated from high schools, from students below the age of 18. But on the opposition side, the concern is, again, well, they're not mature enough to cast a responsible vote. They're not knowledgeable enough. They're prone to influence from parents, teachers. Anyone who's parented an adolescent, though, I don't know. There could be a little pushback on that they're prone to parental influence, but I digress. When we asked, well, would you support or oppose this for cities and towns in Massachusetts, the numbers were somewhat different. Only a 10-point gap, 52% opposed, 42% in favor. Among the groups in favor, Democrats strongly in favor, Republicans adamantly opposed to this. Parents of teens were likely to favor this. The younger you were at the age at which you cast your first vote, the more likely you were to support lowering the voting age to 16. So it's not a popular idea, no question about it, but there is some support for it at the local and town, city and town level in Massachusetts, and so we'll see what the legislature does and then what our local governments might do in that regard.
I've got about a minute for this related question. So we reported our Paul Tuthill in the Pioneer Valley, whose bureau is on the same campus you work on, about the city of Springfield, which is launching an effort to increase voter turnout. And this is after a 9% voter turnout in the last municipal election. You and I are both in this stuff every single day because of our jobs. What do you think when you hear about a 9% voter turnout?
It's bracing. It's something that you just don't want to see happen. And I've been watching Springfield voter turnout for 11 years now. And when you compare across the state, when there are elections across the state, Springfield is routinely among the lowest turnout in the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts. And there are legitimate reasons for that. There's a lot of correlation to socioeconomic status. And so that the city council was saying, we want to send out reminder postcards that remind people of the date, the location of their polling place. We want to do some automated phone calls to remind people as well. seems all to the good. We know from the political science research, those phone calls probably aren't going to be very effective. But we do know from very clever field experiments that postcard reminders, they work. They do boost turnout. And so these are legitimate ways to boost turnout. The mayor of Springfield, Dominic Sarno, has vetoed the legislation. He's concerned about the cost. He's concerned about the implementation. But it passed the council by a vote of 11-2, and so the votes do seem to be there to override the mayor's veto. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out, and then if it makes a difference. We have a natural experiment occurring in Springfield were this to happen, and we'll see.
Fascinating stuff, as always, from Tim Versalotti, our friend at Western New England University. He is the head of the poll there and professor of political science. Tim, you're a great sport to let me interview you this time instead of Alan. Thanks so much for all this time.
Oh, happy to do it. And best wishes to Alan. I hope he makes a full and speedy recovery. Thank you, Ian.